WEC number 8, looking at the transcendental argument for God's existence. So I'm going to start out with an example here. The example I'm going to start out with is going to kind of be the foundation of how to understand the transcendental argument. It can be confusing if you're thinking about it from a purely theoretical standpoint. So this example here, we'll use this example and then show how the transcendental argument for God's existence works from this example. So the example we have here is the cake on the table. So let's suppose you come home from work, you walk through the front door, and you see a cake sitting there on the table. You walk up next to it, you could smell it, it's fresh. Grab a hold of the pan it's in, it's still warm. Questions to ask yourself. Now, this may seem strange, but this is how we are to use this example on understanding the world around us. So you walk in the front door, you see the cake sitting there. How did it get there? What was needed in order for the cake to get there? Like the ingredients, the instructions, flour, milk, eggs. What are all the possibilities on how it got there? So maybe your husband made it, or your wife made it, or your kids made it, your neighbor made it, maybe somebody, a friend or a relative, brought it over to your house. But notice each one of those, the conclusion was somebody made it. Could the cake have gotten on the table by any other means? Could the cake have made itself? As we see, if we're going to parallel this on how people view the universe, somebody who's a materialist or an atheist or an evolutionist will say, the cake made itself. How is that possible? How did all of the ingredients that are necessary come into existence? And then how did all those ingredients that are necessary come together in order to make that cake like it is? So either the cake made itself, somebody made the cake, or the cake doesn't exist. It's just an illusion. Those are your three answers. So obviously when you walk into the house and you see the cake sitting there, you know somebody made that cake. Either your spouse, friend, kid, somebody, neighbor, somebody made the cake. What are the preconditions? Meaning, what are the things that are necessary in order to make that cake? You need intelligence. You need supplies. You need tools. You need an oven. You need oxygen. You need heat. You need all the ingredients. All of these things are necessary in order to make the cake. Now, when we step back and we look at the universe as a whole, what are the preconditions? In other words, what is necessary in order for the universe to be as it is? If the cake did not make itself, the universe could not have made itself. If the cake needed ingredients in order to exist, where did all the necessary ingredients here on Earth and in the universe, such as oxygen, such as material, such as the immaterial, the laws of nature, the uniformity of nature, the laws of logic, human life and consciousness, all of these things that we take for granted that we use every day, reason, logic, all of these things, water, food to sustain us. Where did all of this come from? You have two options, actually three. It created itself, somebody created it, or none of it is here. It's just an illusion. If we go back to the first couple lessons, when we took a look at the three metaphysical realities, you have atheism, pantheism, and Christian theism. Same thing with this cake. When you look at the cake, the only answer that's intelligible is somebody made the cake. When you look at this universe, the only answer that's intelligible is God created the universe. An infinite, transcendent, all-knowing, all-powerful, logical, rational, moral mind created everything that exists. It cannot create itself, like the materialist worldview would like to say, and it is not an illusion, like the pantheist or the Hinduist worldview would say. So when you look at that cake on the table, how did it get there? When you look at this universe, how did it get here? When you look at that cake on the table, what was needed in order for it to get there? When you look at this universe, what is needed in order for this universe to exist? The only answer is an infinite, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, all-logical, absolutely moral, transcendent God. So the transcendental argument for God's existence is simply that. When you look at the world around you, what is necessary? What are the preconditions that are necessary in order to make this world intelligible as it is? So now, where did this concept or this phrase transcendental argument come from? Transcendental argument was an argument constructed by Cornelius Van Til during the 20th century. How did he come up with this? Well, in studying philosophy, he studied Immanuel Kant's transcendental argument against David Hume. So Kant followed David Hume. David Hume was a radical skeptic. He was an empiricist. Hume believed that there was no a priori knowledge, meaning there was no innate knowledge that people are born with. Everything is you that you know comes by way of experience. That's what an empiricist is, using your senses and your experience to come to know things. Hume did not believe there was innate ideas, meaning ideas that you're born with. He believed that the mind was a tabula rasa, which is referred to as a blank slate. If something was not experienced, it could not be known. So this is what Kant is following, and Immanuel Kant is looking to answer the skepticism that David Hume brought. Kant took a different approach, and he asked, what are the preconditions for the intelligibility of any human experience? So he's looking at Hume's argument, and he's asking this question. What are the preconditions for the intelligibility of human experience? What needs to exist prior in order for us to make any intelligible assessment about life? And it's the same argument that you see when you walk into the house and you see that cake on the table. What are the preconditions? What is necessary in order to make any intelligible understanding and connection to the cake that's sitting on the table? So Kant argued that the cause and effect was a precondition. The mind must approach its experience with the category of causation already in place. So he's saying there has to be a priori knowledge. We have to be born with innate knowledge already there. Christians, we call that implanted knowledge from God, but a philosopher refers to it as innate knowledge. If there are no causes, according to Kant, there are no scientific discussions or rationality at all. So there has to be cause and effect. This is what Hume denied. This is what Kant is trying to prove. Kant believed he had answered Hume in a transcendental way. He said you must already believe in cause and effect in order to make sense of those observations. As a Christian, we say this: you must already believe in the existence of God in order to make sense out of anything in life. Because if we start with the material, if we start with the Big Bang, that in the beginning nothing exploded and here we are, time, space, matter, everything that we have came from the material. That doesn't give us a sufficient answer. That doesn't give us a sufficient answer for why human beings exist. Yes, we have material bodies, but what about the immaterial part of us? What about our thoughts? What about the laws of logic? What about the laws of mathematics? What about the ability to reason and to be rational? If we came from chaos, and that's what evolution teaches, from the irrational, from chaos, from matter in motion. Chaos can only produce chaos. Irrationality can only produce more irrationality. But what we see in the universe and what we see in human nature is patterns, the uniformity of nature, rational thinking, categorization, logical concepts, logical constructs. We see an ordered universe that cannot come out of a chaotic beginning. So what we see here is, what are the preconditions in order for us to make sense of our observations in this world? The Christian says, the biblical God must exist. It's a necessity. So Kant was saying without the pre-existence of cause and effect, nothing could make sense and nothing could exist. And what we're saying as Christians is without the pre-existence of the biblical God, nothing in this world makes sense. So the transcendental approach argues that God is the precondition for the intelligibility of human experience. If you don't begin with God, you cannot make sense of anything at all. Human beings by themselves cannot account for the world around them. So what this transcendental argument teaches is that humanity, starting with themselves, I don't care if it's one person, a group of people, a consensus, or the elite, human beings, starting with themselves, cannot give a sufficient reason for why they're here. They can't give a sufficient reason for why things exist. And they can't give a justification for why their reason and their experience is trustworthy. This is where everything stems off. It stems off of the starting point. From the starting point, we have our method. And from the method, we come to our conclusions. If you have the wrong starting point, your methods and your conclusions will not be a sufficient base within themselves. You can never truly understand, know, or justify why you believe what you believe. It's just mere conjecture, probability, possibility. But you can't know anything for sure without an infinite reference point. If you're just using yourself or a group of people as your starting point of authority, you can never come to an absolute concrete conclusion on anything because you can't tell somebody why something exists and you can't justify for sure why your answer is correct. This is where worldview and presuppositions come in and why they're so important. A worldview is a network of presuppositions. It's an entire system of assumptions. It's our starting point. A network of presuppositions which are not tested by natural science. Science alone cannot interpret or cannot speak. It needs to be interpreted. The individual conducting the experiment and writing down the results of the experiment and then giving an interpretation of the experiment needs to have a world view. Nobody approaches science neutrally. Science is not the end all. The worldview of the individual that interprets the information and then brings it into a system as a whole. It's that foundational authority where the weight of the argument rests. These are known as the presuppositions. Presuppositions can't be counted. They can't be weighed. They can't be measured. They're not seen. They're not heard. They're not felt. They are immaterial beliefs in one's mind. Science can only test the material. Science cannot speak. What is needed is a rational mind to interpret the information that science uncovers. Interpretation can only take place by a person using their presuppositions, their worldview, their ultimate authority to make sense of it all. So when you are interpreting something, you are using your starting point and your method to come to that conclusion. An evolutionist will have nature, matter as their starting point. A Christian will have God as their starting point. That's the difference. Presuppositions are the foundation upon which science stands and sensory experiences are understood and interpreted. And when you take a look at individual scientists from the 17th, 18th century, Isaac Newton and many others, they all were Christian scientists. They had God as their base. Today we see atheistic scientists. Now you can conduct experiments. You can analyze material, you can analyze data, you can test data. But to explain why that exists and to just justify your use of reason and your sensory experience and to come to a conclusion in a fact and say this is a fact, justification of that fact cannot be done outside of God. If it's just the human opinion, then it's simply mere conjecture. The scientist claims their foundation is the laboratory. Science itself stands on the foundation of presuppositions in order to analyze and draw their conclusions. So the laboratory is not the final say. their presuppositions and their ultimate authority has the final say. Example of this, we've used this before, 1953, Francis Crick discovered the DNA structure. After further observation, he attributed the existence of DNA structure to the work of evolution. So was it the science that concluded evolution? Or was it his worldview, his presupposition, or his ultimate authority that concluded evolution created DNA? A Christian can look at the structure of DNA as well. What is a Christian going to conclude? That that's the handiwork of God. An atheist is going to say this happened by random chance. Now, if you study DNA, and it's over my head, I'm not a scientist, but it is extremely, extremely complex. So taking a look at DNA, just like you would look at that cake on the table, what are the preconditions that are necessary in order to make sense of DNA? Could the cake on the table have evolved by itself? No. Is the cake on the table an illusion? No. So the only final solution is somebody must have made that cake with the ingredients necessary. Same thing with DNA. Somebody must have constructed DNA because DNA is an information. It's a code. There's intelligence behind it. Intelligence is immaterial. Only material things can evolve. Immaterial things cannot evolve from material things. Information is immaterial. How does information evolve from something that's material? It cannot. So we have an outside source. God created DNA. That's the only conclusion one can come to that makes it intelligible. So a worldview is a network of these complex beliefs organized into a system of truth used to make sense of the world around us. The Christian faith is just this. It's a complex system of beliefs that makes up a biblical worldview. All worldviews have presuppositions they rely upon. The Christian has God through his word. The atheist has the material through scientific observation. Ultimate authority upon which one relies. Assumptions that the facts are interpreted by. Francis Crick assumed DNA evolved. Christians assume it was created. Science can't prove God created it. Science can't prove that it evolved. That comes from the mind of the interpreter. Presuppositions are personal commitments that are building blocks of the foundation where a person's worldview exists. It's how they construct what they are looking at. Presuppositions. Does God exist? God doesn't exist. So the Christian will say God exists. The atheist will say he doesn't. The Christian starts with God. The atheist starts with himself. The atheist says matter is all that exists. That we exist from random chance. That's chaotic, irrational, and impersonal. The Hinduist says that the ideal is all that exists, that immaterial is real and matter is an illusion. None of this is real. We're all plugged into a matrix. That's another worldview. Reason explains everything. That's the rationalist worldview. Experience explains everything. That's the empiricist worldview. Reason plus experience explains everything. That's rational empiricism. So we have all these different schools of thought. We have all of these foundations. But what is the principal authority? That is the foundation. And the method is the reason. The method is the experience. But the reason and the experience do not come to the final conclusion without it resting upon the presupposition and authority which drives the interpretation. Presuppositions are the starting point by which everything else is interpreted and evaluated. Presuppositions hold the authority in a person's thinking. They're not negotiable. Therefore, nobody is ever neutral. Ever. Whenever you're making a decision, whenever you're reasoning, whenever you're interpreting the information, all of this rests on your prior commitment. Does God exist? Does God not exist? Is humanity at the center? Is it a group consensus? Is it the elite? Or is it God himself through his word? A worldview, then, is a network of presuppositions where all experience is related. Everybody has a way of looking at the world. Every person has a framework. Nobody's neutral. We've talked about this before. Metaphysics. What is reality? Epistemology. Knowledge and how I verify what I know. And then ethics and morality. What ought to be? These are the building blocks of a worldview. Nobody simply allows the facts to interpret themselves. That's what the scientists like to say. I let the science guide me. That's impossible. Because two people can be looking at the same structure of DNA and come to two completely different conclusions because of their starting point. Facts cannot interpret themselves. They must be interpreted. So the most important question a person can ever ask themselves is, am I starting with the correct presupposition when I'm making sense of the world around me? So the importance of understanding presuppositions. Some things are presuppositional, which means they're not proven directly, but indirectly. Presuppositions determine whether facts and beliefs are true or false. It's not the human. It's not the process. It's the presupposition. The goal is to come to the correct presupposition. When you start with the correct starting point, and then you use your reason, and then use your experience to interpret what you're seeing, then you come to the correct conclusion. And you can verify what is true, you can verify what is factual by going back to the starting point as the ultimate authority. The way we justify a presupposition is from the impossibility of the contrary. Now, this is important. So the transcendental argument. Rather than giving a direct evidence for a presupposition, we give evidence in an indirect manner. Again, you walk into the house, you see the cake on the table. What are the preconditions? What is necessary in order for that cake to be sitting there like it is? It's an indirect way of explaining how the cake came into existence. If the presupposition is denied, it would be impossible to prove anything. So, meaning, if that cake was not created by a human being or a person, its existence would be impossible. To hold rational thought, to hold the moral absolutes, purpose, and existence, your presupposition must be true, otherwise nothing else would make sense. So if I believe all things evolve, if I believe all things come together by random chance over time, and I come to the conclusion that that cake made itself, I can never have a true understanding of that cake because I am starting from the incorrect starting point. Any rational thought, any moral absolute, any purpose, any existence that comes from understanding that cake coming together by itself is false. This becomes a necessary assumption for all rational thought. Our starting point, our presupposition, our authority base is the necessary assumption for all rational thought. If we don't start out on the correct foundation, all ethical behavior, all experience, and all knowledge will not have a sufficient base. So those who view the world as random, as chance, that there is no intelligence governing this world, that there is no connection between thoughts, truths, and events, that everything is just randomly here, they have given up any possibility of explanation and justification for why they believe. They may be moral, they may be rational, but they can't explain why they are moral. They cannot explain why they are rational, and they cannot justify any belief or conclusion that they come to. Explanations must rely on the principles that unify and relate general truths to one another. So without the correct ultimate authority that justifies one's beliefs, all a person is going to have is unsubstantiated opinion, because no person is a reference point in and of themselves. We are flawed. Our reason fails us. Our experience fails us. We're not infinite people. We're finite. And only the only way to come to an absolute fact is to have absolute knowledge. Human beings cannot do this. Only God can do this. Therefore, the precondition of our existence is the existence of the biblical God who has omniscient knowledge. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. He knows all things. That's how we can be sure of the ground that we stand on. Starting with human nature, we'll never get there. So what about reason? People say, reason is my starting point in my own mind. This is purely subjective. It's opinion because you're starting with yourself. It is your mind versus everybody else's mind. So how do we come to the correct conclusion if we have 10 people with 20 different opinions? Whose opinion is going to be the final say? No one mind determines and defines all parameters in life. So the individual who wants to withdraw from society and live life according to how they see fit, no one mind creates reality. No one mind creates knowledge and ethics. It can't happen. So to make any sense of the world, a person must utilize Christian presuppositions. If you're using logic, you're using Christian presuppositions. Why? Because logic can only exist from a logical creator. The irrational time plus chance world that evolution creates cannot produce the laws of logic. First of all, they're immaterial. Evolution can only produce something that's material. And chaos cannot produce order. The illogical cannot produce logic. So if you're using logic, you're using the Christian worldview. Reason, experience, logic, coherence, meaning, and purpose, all of these things only exist because God exists. Why would anybody be wondering about purpose and meaning if we're just products of random chance over time? There is no purpose. There is no meaning. There never was. That concept wouldn't even come into our mind if we're just here by random chance. People operate and utilize these things when they need to make sense. So they use their mind. They use logic. An atheist can do this. An atheist can use reason. They can use experience. They can use morality to come to their conclusions. But again, they can't justify why they're using reason and experience and morality. They can't justify why those things even exist. They do what they do because you have to live within the parameters that you're created in. Nobody can escape metaphysics. Nobody can escape the reality that surrounds them. You may want to redefine this world according to what you want it to be, but just because you're doing that doesn't mean it's so. No matter what you do, no matter where you move, no matter how you think, you have to operate within the principles that God has created you to operate in, which is a world that has uniformity, that has design, that has logical order. Everybody has the ability to reason. Everybody has the ability to communicate. Everybody has the use of communication in language. None of these things can come about by irrational time plus chance, matter, and motion. There has to be a creator. God has to be the one who is the ultimate source for all of these things. So the three-step approach then to the transcendental argument, it's known also known as presuppositionalism. Again, think of the cake on the table. Number one, demonstrate what must necessarily exist. Example, in order for science to be possible, nature must function in a consistent pattern, our reason must be reliable, our senses must be reliable, and the laws of logic must exist. So if God doesn't exist, and all we have is irrational time plus chance, how do we have any consistent patterns that maintain themselves? How do we have any use of reason, any use of logic? None of this would exist unless God existed. So in order for science to be possible, God must exist. Number two, demonstrate how their worldview cannot reasonably be true. So show how their ultimate source of authority fails to provide a reasonable justification for the preconditions. You walk into the kitchen, you see that cake on the table. The individual says, well, that just came by random chance. Well, where did the eggs come from? They evolved. Well, where did the flour come from? Well, that evolved too. Well, where did the information come from to make that cake? Well, I have no idea. It just evolved and came together on the table. Show how foolish that is, because it is. And when we apply that to the world and say everything came about by random chance, we're saying the exact same thing as the person who says that that cake came about by random chance. And number three, demonstrate the necessity of God. Explain how only Christianity is able to provide the necessary presuppositions for those things to exist and to function as they do. Meaning, if there wasn't an infinite, all-knowing, all-loving, all-present God, a rational God, a logical God, none of this would exist. Because we are the direct result of His creation. We are created in His image to reflect His character. The reason we can reason, and the reason we use logic, and the reason there is uniformity in nature, and the reason things are testable and predictable and are held together in a tight-knit pattern, is because an infinite, all-knowing, all-loving, all-personal, all-moral God has created the world to be like this. It cannot come about by random chance. God is the only intelligent and logical foundation for metaphysics, epistemology, and ethics.